Hello, everybody. I am Alexandra Fernandez for CFRC 101.9 FM. Today, I am joined by Jamie Black, a multidisciplinary artist of mixed Anishinaabe and Finnish descent. They are joining me today to discuss the Red Dress Project, which is a response to the missing and murdered Indigenous women of Canada. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jamie.
No problem.
So can you tell us about this project and what it focuses on?
Yeah, so the Red Dress Project is an installation art project to draw attention to violence against Indigenous women and girls, and also to just really create a space to gather community and supporters around this cause.
For sure. Thank you so much. And I'd like to ask why a red dress specifically was picked as the object to honor the missing and murdered Indigenous women across the country. What is sort of the significance and representation behind the red dress?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that red is such a powerful color, and I think different spiritual cultures around the world have used red in ritual and in ceremony for hundreds and hundreds of years, and I think it's really an ancient symbol. And for me, it's red represents the lifeblood that we all carry, so it's this interconnection between us all. And using the color red as well is sort of showing the violence of not caring for that lifeblood and that sacred lifeblood that we all carry.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a very powerful color that can invoke a lot of different emotion for people. In 2019, the Red Dress Project was first brought to the United States. And can you tell us a little bit more about that, since it is focused on the missing and murdered Indigenous women of Canada, but obviously there are also missing and murdered Indigenous women in the United States. So can you tell us a little bit about why you brought that project to the USA and how it was received there?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I first want to say also that, you know, the issue of colonialism, patriarchy, all these systems that actually affect Indigenous women's lives is really, you know, a more than an issue that happens only in Canada. It happens all over the world, and it's really something we all need to be addressing. So I think, you know, that in that way, this work really speaks across borders and across lands and really speaks to the, you know, the structures that we live within that allow this, you know, unsafe spaces for women. So I was actually really excited to have the work travel to the U.S. And what I've done, like, over the years of having this project, you know, exhibited is really, like, the work has been coming to me, and it's been really amazing, and people have been coming to me and inviting me to really bring this conversation forward. And so, you know, for about 10 years, over 10 years, the work has been traveling all across Canada. And as you said, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, the work started being, you know, represented in the United States as well. And it was such a powerful thing to have the dresses go up in Washington, because that is really like, it's like the seat of colonialism in the U.S. And mm-hmm. So it was really, really amazing to see those dresses hold space in the public area, you know, right across from, you know, the Washington Square, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I think that it was really important that the dresses traveled to that space. And so the Museum of the American Indian invited me to come to the space. And you know, I took on that invite and brought those dresses to that space. And I think it was really important way of starting the conversation and breaking the silence around violence against Indigenous women and girls, not just in Canada, but beyond.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And yeah, thank you so much for emphasizing the fact that, yeah, it is something that happens everywhere around the world. And so with a lot of things that have sort of come to light, I guess, over the last quite a few years, and, you know, the Government of Canada, they put out the 94 calls to action as a form of truth and reconciliation with Indigenous peoples and communities across the country. Can you talk a little bit about the 94 calls to action in terms of if the government is doing enough, if they're doing what they can, or what more is needed from them to support Indigenous communities?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, I mean, a quote that comes to mind is that, you know, the master's house will not be dismantled with the master's tools. And I really do believe that. And I, you know, I see, you know, government sort of paying homage to wanting to make change, but actually not acting on it. And that's something that's been happening since the beginning of colonialism and that settling of this country, right? And mm-hmm. also in the U.S. So it's not super surprising to me that, you know, the structures that created these problems are unwilling to solve the problems. And I'm not even sure that the structures that created them can solve these problems.
Right.
I guess my focus as an artist, as an activist, as a community supporter is really, you know, working at the grassroots and turning our focus to what action we can take as, you know, as communities, as individuals, as the public to actually make change from the ground up. And I feel like that's where sort of my faith and my focus has to be because, you know, otherwise we do. It's true that we see so much inaction. And then what kind of looks like action is actually just, you know, a way of diverting our attention away from, like, the continued colonial acts that are happening over and over again throughout the country, right? Like, you know, people's lands are still being taken. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these kind of violences and these, you know, issues that we've dealt with are ongoing. They're not gone. And so oftentimes we'll see, you know, political figures say they're, you know, kind of addressing these things when they're just saying that so that we'll, you know, stop fighting for them when, you know, behind the scenes things are still happening to cause harm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Thank you so much for sharing your own thoughts and experiences based on the 94 calls to action with us. And, you know, for people who are allies to the Indigenous community and Indigenous people, is there anything that you would say to people who are looking to engage in truth and reconciliation, who may be a little bit nervous or scared just because, you know, they don't want to maybe step on people's toes?
Yeah, I think my advice around that, and, like, I try to take my own advice as well in working in circles and people, it's, like, it's really taking the lead from the people we're working with, right? So if there's communities or families or people kind of leading a movement or, you know, it's just, we can all just be there to care for and help and fill in the spaces that need to be filled in. So it's, like, really, you know, it's really important to be there as a helper and as a hand and not, you know, not necessarily have to take, you know, take the microphone and say, you know what I mean? Like, it's, mm-hmm. it allows people space to share their own stories and to be leaders. And, you know, we can all just help each other in that way.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Is there anything that you would like to add before we end off that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll talk a little bit more about the call to action. I just wanted to mention that the TRC is the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which mm-hmm. maybe not everyone knows, so I'll just explain that. But basically, that was a look into the impact of residential schools across the country here in Canada. And the TRC came up with recommendations of how to kind of implement change in different institutions and different frameworks in order to, you know, decolonize those spaces. And so, you know, that's really public knowledge, the recommendations of the TRC. And I think that a lot of places are starting to, at least in Canada, really think about what that means to make that change in their institutions and the structures that they work within. But I've also wanted to mention that about 4 or 5 years ago, I was working for an inquiry here in Canada, and it was the inquiry into violence against Indigenous women and girls. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a 3-year process where we all went across the country and heard stories from families whose loved ones had gone missing or been murdered. And so those stories were gathered, and groups of women from across Canada were working tirelessly to, you know, transcribe those stories and have those stories in the archive and think about ways in which and reasons why this violence is happening in an effort to kind of make change on the ground. And so mm-hmm. that inquiry actually came up with a group of recommendations as well. And I think, you know, over the last 4 years since those recommendations have been released, there's been absolute silence from the media around those recommendations. And so I think, you know, even though I think it's, you know, the grassroots is where the power is, I also think it's important that we recognize the, you know, the recommendations that are coming from the ground up through these inquiries, right? Mm-hmm. And like respecting and responding to those. And I would really love to see and think it's really the responsibility of institutions and different structures to really take on, you know, really acting on these recommendations from both the TRC and from the inquiry.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's really, really important that we pay attention to these things. And I think that sometimes institutions need a framework or, mm-hmm. you know, something to kind of stand on as far as like moving forward, like what does action look like? And I think the recommendations from both the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and from the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit, like those are really amazing resources for, you know, like universities, like, you know, different sector, you know, public sector to really look at and think about how, you know, the ways that they're working, you know, are affecting others and to make changes there.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for talking with me about the Redress Project, the calls to action, the national inquiry, and speaking with me about everything today. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks so much.